Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, groomer Joey Villani, news director Lori Brooks. And now, from the Red Barn Studios, here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And your dream team, toll-free. Plotting the world famous Russian dog wizard, Dr. Debbie, dog father Joey Villani, and animal communicator Joey Turner, all available at your beck and call at 1-866-405-8405. I'm sorry, Mika, did I not mention you today? Little Mika, can we talk baby talk to Mika? Mika doesn't like it when I talk baby talk.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, hold on, baby Mika, talk. Down. Where is our treats? Okay. Girl, you stay. You're supposed to be good.
I got
to
tell you, Vladi sent me, emailed me, like 10 tips for training your pet. And Vladi, I got to tell you, it was perfect because the way that you spelled it out was absolutely perfect for every little problem that we have. What I basically did was I printed it out and I gave it to my wife. I told her, you need to
you
study
do it.
Well, it's, you know what? She, you know, the dog's always around her and she lets them get away with more bad habits than I do.
But you know, you haven't been too much polite to me right now because you didn't present it properly. I didn't send you the Vladi's tips. I sent you article which featured tips. You know, that's what you're supposed to say to the listeners.
Well, please. I'm glad you just told them that. Thank you. And I apologize for that, but I'm glad you told everyone that. So now they know.
So am I.
Yeah, if I'm not going to die from self-modesty, that's for sure. Enough.
Anyway, on the show today, Joy Behar joins us for the season of Stars from The View. Stacey, what are you working on?
Wow, kitty litter can make you commit suicide. I am not kidding. There's a new study out, and it's not just from somebody not changing the kitty litter. There's a toxic chemical in there. I'll tell you about it. Coming up on Animal Radio News.
So I guess if you're a cat lover and you have the feeling that you just want to slit your wrists, remember, cut sideways, it bleeds faster. That's all I'm saying.
Stop it, Hal.
Okay.
You're supposed to be good to the cats.
I am. I'm always good to the... I love cats. You hate cats, don't you?
Not me. Mika, German Shepherd, my Mika, she just told me the only good thing about the cats, it's a great exerciser for the dogs. So that's what
they're delicious.
Both you guys, stop it.
Yeah, it's interesting enough. In this country, of course, the cats are fine. You know, of course, they don't fulfill any jobs. I mean, at least a dog can bite somebody's ass if some of the bad guys come in. I know, Judy. I know.
Hey, my cat can get rid of the mice and gophers in the yard. Well, they're supposed to.
Time out. I've seen an attack cat.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. It scared me worse than most dogs that went after me because that cat was coming with a vengeance.
Yeah.
And it was coming, and I seen it coming. It was like the skill saw was running across the floor at you. I get out of the way quick.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem with cats is you never know when they're going to attack. With dogs, you sort of have an idea, but
cats just sneak up on you when
they have those sharp claws. Joey, what are you working on today?
I'm working on, it's funny we're talking about cats, but I'm working on a stinky kitty and how to get rid of that without waters or sprays.
That reminds me of the Friends episode.
Smelly cat, that's right, smelly cat.
Okay, we'll make your cat smell beautiful today. Let's see, Dr. Debbie just stepped in. I understand she's dealing with a case of the strangles today.
Yeah, that's a strange name.
What is that?
Isn't it? It's like everyone just kind of wonders, what in the
Why
world
did strangle?
Is she talking about?
Yeah, yes.
Well, yes, and actually this was a very dear little patient of mine, a little chihuahua puppy, and aww. She actually, we diagnosed her with strangles, which is also known as juvenile cellulitis, and it's actually a pretty horrible looking disease where they get sores all over their eyelids, their face, their ears, they lose hair, and these sores ooze fluid, their lymph nodes get big, and that kind of, hence the name, the lymph nodes in the neck get really big and almost look like they're strangling the dog.
Is it contagious?
No, it isn't contagious, fortunately, but it is a kind of a strange immune system disease we see in puppies, usually between 1 to 5 months of age, and it's an inherent problem in just these selected pets.
Is it
not
painful?
Contagious. It can be painful, aww. And a lot of these little guys are very feeling cruddy, run down. This little girl, her lymph nodes were so large, and they were actually oozing pus out of them, and they ruptured through the skin, so they were really uncomfortable. But finally, we've got her, you know, she's on track. She's responding to the therapy and doing quite well. But it's a rough disease for a lot of these little babies. And we do see it a little bit more in some breeds. I think Golden Retrievers are the breed I tend to see it in the most, but also Dachshunds and Siberian Huskies are the big ones.
How long does it take for them to recover?
It can take up to about 10 days. And usually the best response they get is we treat them with steroids. Mm-hmm. So it quiets down their immune response. And then we do other things, antibiotics and then medicated shampoos and such like that.
Does the hair grow back?
You know, it can, but a lot of doggies I have that actually are scarred on their eyelids and on their, like, on the muzzle area. So they just, you know, may not grow hair back in those areas. But for the most part, it's once they get through it, they're never going to have it again. And they're usually doing well afterwards.
Does it affect, like, a whole litter, or can it just affect one out of the litter?
It actually just hits the individual. So it's not necessarily inherited, something that the other ones are going to get. It's kind of bad luck of the draw, if you will.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you know all of this stuff. I'd be a lousy doctor, that's for sure. Let's see. Joy Behar on the way, if I haven't mentioned that yet. Let's hit the phones right now at 1-866-405-8405. We have Michael on the phone. Hey, Michael, welcome to the show.
Hello, how are you?
Good. I understand you want to talk to Vlade. What's going on?
I have a little 5-pound Chihuahua, male, neutered. And when we go for walks in a field where it's really safe, where there's no other dogs or cars or anything, he walks right by my left heel wonderfully. And I'm just so proud of him. We just kind of prance around, and he's just right there all the time. But when I put a leash on him, he freezes, and he just won't budge. And what I'm trying to do is get him leash trained so we could take further walks throughout the neighborhood and be safe, you know, so he won't get away. And I'm wondering why he freezes like that and what I should do about it to get him to start moving, because his feet are dug in his claws and he just won't go.
I just would like to ask the advice from my German Shepherd. Mika, we have a Chihuahua here. The Chihuahua doesn't want to walk. What do you think? What we need to do? Maybe she has some learning problems, right? No. Mika doesn't know that. Look, here's what I will let you know how to fix your problem. Number one. Is it a common in Chihuahuas? Yes, it is. I see it all the time. You put some weight on them, even different harness. They freezing. That's one of the very common Chihuahuas problem. How to resolve it? Number one, try to, because you just told me, you know the answer already. You told me off leash, she's the wonderful. So here's the positive way of resolving this problem. Grab a piece of the chicken, American cheese, famous favorite treats, and do high and low. I call it high and low. Say whatever her name is, whatever, Heidi. Heidi, high pitch. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Few steps, off leash I'm talking about, and give the treats. Put emphasis on let's go. Heidi, let's go. Come on, come on, come on, come on. And love and treats. Do 3-4 times, and after that, use the trick. Pick up your dog. Or you don't need to pick up if you can do this trick which I just explained and walk away from your house. After, turn back toward your house now. And let's say if you have a wife or mistress or anyone who Chihuahua loves, that person needs to stay close to the house. So you're basically staying probably 20, 30 feet away from the house. The person staying close to the house, you're facing to that person. Now you need to put very light leash. If it possible, maybe string, maybe a very light piece of the rope. So almost have no weight. In this situation, ask the person, as you say, let's go, kneel down and say, come on, babies! Make some type of the weird sounds. In the same time, you say, Heidi, let's go! And as you say, you gently pull the leash toward your wife or whoever it is who is asking the dog coming toward them. The dog will definitely go after that because, number one, she wants to go toward the house. Number two, she wants to go to your wife. And plus you already kind of worked on let's go command. The dog knows they're going to get the treats. So if the dog doesn't go, slightly pull the leash. Come on, come on, like very gently. Like the key is not to the straight pull. The key is tug and release. Even few seconds, she walks on its own without pressure on the string. You scream, good girl, good girl. Kneel down, give her love, give her cheese. after get up and say, Heidi, let's go again. Come on. And as you say, another person screaming. And that's how I would do if I were you. If that method will not work, you need to go to a little bit extreme size. You need to use device by name Pet Convincer, which I'm calling. And I not just having stuck, dear my hell, in this product. I co-invented that product because I believe it's just a miracle. You say, let's go, and Chihuahua resists. You slightly, just behind the Chihuahua, make that noise, pss, pss, with that product, pss, air. She gonna get spooked and walk forward. From that time, say, girl, give her love, give her treats. That what I would do. It's a very delicate procedure, but that what my approach would be. I know if I would be around, I could show you. It would be just a 2 seconds deal, but I hope you will succeed. And thank you so much for calling us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for your call, Michael. I wish you best of luck with that. If you have any trouble, give us a call back and we'll do a follow-up for you. 1-866-405-8405 to connect with our dream team here at Animal Radio.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu, animals are people too.
Cats can be so finicky, but a cat taking a trip on a ship bound from China to England survived only on condensation and cardboard. The little white cat jumped in a box of cooking ware and survived a 26-day journey in a sealed crate. She was found by surprised workers at a crockery supplier who were unloading the boxes and promptly named Chairman Meow. Chairman Meow was fed, vaccinated, and quarantined at a local animal center where she's enjoying being petted and fussed over. She'll soon be ready for a new home with food. Any kind of cat food would be fine. And I thought airline food was bad. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people too. Animal Radio.
Happy holidays from your friends at Fido Friendly Magazine. The fall winter issue is available now for your dog to sniff out all the great Fido Friendly hotels and great products to set all tails wagging. This is the must-have issue of the year. So subscribe today at FidoFriendly.com with code HONEY and get a 15% discount. Make this a gift for an additional $10 for your Fido-loving friends and have a Fido-fabulous holiday.
Hey, this is Big Ann from Rescue Inc. Remember, spay and neuter your animal, and abusers are losers. Now back to Animal Radio.
Okay, guys, sometimes we're receiving emails when some people who probably have a little bit, not too much sense of understanding our humor, telling us that you having too much humor, not too much information. So I would like to give them information so they could think through and maybe call us and tell us what they think, or maybe take a home taking value from my tip. And my tip today would be to the typical pet owner about authority. We always think about, well, why my dog doesn't obey me? Well, look at the kids. Will they obey the parents just because of love? No. They will obey the parents because of respect. Respect nobody gonna give you, people, out of gratitude. You have to take it. Look what you're doing with your pets, and try to change it. Because if you keep doing what you keep doing, you're gonna get what you're getting. So number one, start to think differently. There is only two ways for the dog training. Or you're using bribe, treats, American cheese, Russian kielbasa, and say, Heidi, come, and show them and give it to them. Or make sure you make your dog come to you, for instance, and you can give your food, treats, whatever, after the fact. This is the difference between using the positive reinforcement as the reward versus as the bribe. That's what the tip for you for today. And thank you for listening, Animal Radio. We are here to help.
We
love you
it.
So much. Yes, we love you so much. And we love you, Dr. David, today very much as well. Thank you for entertainment. You've done it for us too.
You're getting the hook today, boy. Get out of the way.
Hey, Isaac. Hi. How you doing?
Fine.
What's up?
I have a German Shepherd that I've adopted, basically. He's a rescue dog. We work patrol together. I'm training him to be a police canine dog. We do security. And he just leaves hair all over the place in the car. So he's the hairiest dog I've ever had. I've had a few. He shakes it off of him, so I'm thinking, so that's kind of the second question. Is that shaking a tick thing, or like, you know, or is it like it's a normal routine for him to kind of shed the hair, too, to help your hair fall off?
Well, let me ask you a few questions, if I may. Yeah. Usually something like this will start with nutrition. So I don't know what you're feeding him. Even if it's a good diet, some dogs just do better with different types of food. So what I would try is I would try changing his food little by little to see if that helps the problem. The other thing is how frequently do you have him groomed?
I've never had him groomed.
Okay, you definitely want to try that. And what you want to tell your professional groomer is, my dog is shedding like mad. I need to do a deep de-shedding. Now, this is also something that you can do at home. Okay. If you go to your local, and most of the pet department stores sell what they call carding, C-A-R-D-I-N-G tools. And what it is, it's a deep shedding, de-shedding comb. And it works wonders. It's the same thing your professional groomer is going to do probably for about an hour if they do the right job. But if you do it at home, if you just did it 15 minutes a night to begin with, and what it's going to do, it's going to pull out all of that loose coat.
Is it a carding?
Correct. It's a carding comb. It's a deep shedding comb, because some of the people might not understand the terminology carding, but if you ask for a deep shedding comb, they sell them. There's a bunch of different types.
So they would, right? Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
If you do that 15 minutes a night, that's going to make a huge difference. But here's the other thing, and this might be a twofold problem for you. When dogs get excited, whether they get nervous, when they get happy, when their temperament just changes, it's normal that they're going to shed excessively during that period of time. It just, their coat just comes out. It's very normal. Now, the work that you're doing, you're teaching him to be a guard dog or whatever. Well, the excitement level definitely is going to go up when he's training. So that's why I definitely can understand why it's happening in your car, because it's probably happening after you're going through the training, or even before, because, you know, pets go into the car, they get excited, they're going to shed a little bit more. You definitely can reduce it by using that carding comb. But remember one thing, it's a natural process. The dog is going to shed. You can control it a little bit, but you're never going to stop it, no matter what, especially with the breed of dog that you have. It's just natural. It's going to happen. But I think if you went out and had him professionally groomed and followed up with your deep shedding, carding, I think you're going to be a lot happier.
Great. Good enough. And him doing that little trimmer thing, like shaking, is that a process for him to kick off the dead hair? Is that what that's for, too?
Absolutely. Okay. Shaking is going to be, he's trying to remove the coat. It's bothering him. When it loosens up, it itches them a little bit, they shake it, and they'll try to remove it basically themselves by doing that. But yes, absolutely.
Great. I really appreciate your time on this, okay?
Thank you. Believe me, it will help. If you follow what I'm saying, you definitely get great results.
All right, getting that comb and carding, because I brush him twice a day now. I do.
You know what?
I use the standard brush I have, you know, because I've used some of the dog brushes, and they haven't given me what I wanted. I use one of my own hair brushes, and it pulls more hair out of it than a standard dog brush. But go ahead, sir.
That's great that you're doing that, but honestly, ask for a deep shedding type comb. I guarantee it's going to look like, it's almost going to look like a little blade, like almost like it has a butter knife type of serration at the end. And you're just going to pull that through. You're not going to add a lot of pressure. You're just going to kind of pull that through the coat, and you're not going to believe how much you get out.
So I just got to get used to that shedding, because, I mean, the car is covered with it. My clothes are covered with it. Which I really don't mind. It's kind of part of having the dog. But I would kind of like to break some of that up, you know, a little bit.
Well, we wish you the best of luck with that. If you have any trouble, you need a follow-up call. If it's not working, you can give us a call back. We do free follow-ups here at 1-866-405-8405 to connect with our dream team.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy. No fillers, just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our chicken rolled food as a meal or shred it as a topper.
Hey, don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. Download it now. It's made possible by Fear-Free Pets, taking the pet out of petrified. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com.
This is an Animal Radio news update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. Well, you know what? You may be exercising outside and taking a look at your dog and going, Ralph, looks like your thighs are getting a little large. I think we need to start an exercise program. Well, before you do that, you want to have a conversation with your vet, just like you would do with your doctor for yourself. No matter what age, size, shape, breed, or mix of dog you have, you just can't push them into an exercise program till you know they're healthy. So once your vet gives you the go-ahead, look at your dog, because there's some kinds of exercise that are just not suitable for certain types of dogs. Two kinds of dogs in particular are likely to be intolerant of some kind of exercise. Dogs that have short faces and dogs with short legs and long backs. Exaggerated features, they need special care. Dogs that have short noses like the Pekingese and Bulldogs, well, they're often exercise intolerant because they've been bred for an appearance that's, of course, adorable, but it's not efficient for breathing. They can actually overheat and even die when they're exerting themselves, especially when it's warmer. Swimming might seem like a good exercise to keep those dogs cool, except typically they don't swim very well either. In fact, some bulldogs, they can't swim at all. They'll just sink. For these dogs, walking at a slow pace when it's cool, morning or evening, probably the best exercise. Other dogs who need special consideration are those that have long backs and short legs, like the corgis and the dachshunds. These dogs are not surprisingly prone to back injuries. That means that activities that demand leaping and twisting movements, like when they're chasing after a frisbee, not a good idea for these dogs because they're very active. So if you really want to come up with activities that will keep all four on the floor, you'll be making your dog happy and keeping him healthy. Well, this is very surprising. There's a parasite commonly found in kitty litter boxes that could increase a person's risk for suicide. There's a new study that shows that Toxoplasma gondii parasite causes changes in the brain of an infected person that will make them more likely to attempt to commit suicide. So stay away from the kitty litter. Get out of that box. Mars Pet Care has announced a recall of some varieties of Pedigree canned dog food because of a potential choking risk. Now, this recall affects only weight management varieties. It was issued after the discovery of small pieces of blue plastic that entered the food during the production process. The source of the plastic's been identified and resolved, and while a few retailers have reported finding pieces of plastic, there's no reports of choking or any other health issues. So if you're concerned and you think you may have one of these products, you could check it on their page, www.pedigree.com/update. You can also call them. There's a number. Let me give you that number. It is 877-720-3335. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio news update. Get more at animalradio.com.
It's Animal Radio, celebrating the connection with our pets. You remember, Judy, last year, the book Secret Life of Mac?
How could I forget?
That was the one about the klepto kitty. You always see these videos, and you show these to me frequently, about these klepto kitties that will steal socks from neighbors and such. Well, Mac, that's sort of what Mac does. And joining us again, and because there's a brand new book out, Melinda Metz. How are you doing, Melinda?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Melinda is the author, of course, of the book about the klepto kitty, MacGyver, or we just refer to him as Mac, and a brand new book called Mac on a Hot Tin Roof. Another great book for the holiday season, but it's a little different this year, isn't it?
It is a little different because besides just doing his usual matchmaking, Mac finds a litter of abandoned kittens and he decides that he has to find homes for them all.
Now, wasn't he under house arrest because of his thieving?
He was, because at the same time that he's trying to find homes for the kittens and do his usual matchmaking, there are a series of thefts at Storybook Court where he lives, and people assume that he is responsible. So he's kind of put under house arrest, but he's like an escape artist, so he still is able to get out and do what he needs to do. It's just an extra hoop to jump through for him.
Now, wait a minute. Shouldn't he be innocent until proven guilty?
He should, but they just are like, that cat, he's the one that took everything last time. He did take a lot of things, so it wasn't just one or two.
What kind of things did he take last time in The Secret Life of Mac?
Actually, in Secret Life of Mac, he didn't take as much as he did in the first book, Talk to the Paw.
Okay.
But he's taken underwear and socks and T-shirts, but also he did take, he took a necklace. He's taken a toy, kind of a My Little Pony kind of toy. I think he took off somebody's toupee, but I don't know if he took it very far, but he did get it off. So he'll just take anything that he thinks he needs to get his missions accomplished.
Now, what does he do with the things he takes? Now, I had a cat that would take things, and if I found things missing, I would find them in the bathtub. That's where he kept his stash. Does Mac have a secret place that he keeps his stash?
He basically just, when he was doing his matchmaking, he had kind of picked out a person for his own person, and he would take things from that man's house and put them on his doorstep. The doorstep of his person. So he usually just kind of rearranges things and thereby gets people together with the people that they should be with.
My dog
used to have a stash, though. My dog would, every time I lost anything, I just had to look under the pillow in his crate and that's where it would be.
So I guess this was all inspired by the fact that there are indeed klepto kitties out there, right?
It definitely was.
Do you know of any personally, or was it the videos that have been virally
circulated? As far as the videos, especially the Oregon cat that was owned by a sheriff, and he would bring home things. There was a high school that was near where they lived, and the kitty would bring all kinds of things back, and he ended up putting a motion sensitive camera out over his driveway so he could see what was going on, because he didn't know where all these things were coming from, and then he found out it was his cat.
Okay, it's called Mac. Not cat, yeah. Mac, right. On a hot tin roof. And of course, there was a novel and perhaps a movie called Cat on the Hot Tin Roof. Is that right?
Yes. It was a Tennessee Williams play, I think.
Okay. So Mac on a Hot Tin Roof. I actually have 5 copies to give away right now at 1-866-405-8405. Now, if you're not lucky enough to get on through, head on over to Amazon or your favorite bookstore and ask for it. It's Mac on a Hot Tin Roof, the author Melinda Metz. Melinda, thanks so much for hanging with us.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. 1-866-405-8405. Let's see. Tammy wants to talk to animal communicator Joy Turner. Hi, Tammy.
Hi.
Hi, Tammy. This is Joy. What can I do for you today?
About my dog, Stewie. We had adopted him, and I'm just wondering if he is happy. He had gotten out a week or so ago when the wind blew the fence over and he kind of got hurt. So I'm just wondering how he's doing.
Okay. And originally he thinks he's actually doing quite well. And he thinks that he is now just starting to like come into his own, having his mental and emotional ability to want to have his own personality. So he thinks he's actually becoming quite the card. And he says, is that okay with you? Is it all right with you if he's like this? He wants to be that happy kind of make you laugh, do things you don't expect type of dog.
Oh, he does. He cracks me up. He is the best dog in the world. I love Stewie to death.
Good. And he said the original reason why he went out when the gate was open, because he thought we were playing hide and seek. But he said that apparently didn't work out so very well.
No, it didn't.
And he says so he thinks that he's not going to either play that game or he's not going to play it out there, meaning out of the yard again.
Yeah, he needs to stay in the yard because we have coyotes and all sorts of goats. I think the goats got him is what happened.
They were supposed to run away from him. He was really amazed, he says, that they didn't.
But is he happy now being in his forever home?
He says he could not be more pleased, except for those goat things, he calls them.
Hi, it's Alan Cable. Well, my friend, it's time for another dog tip. You know, I was over at a neighbor's house. He's got 2 insecure, very shy, high-energy chihuahuas. They're afraid of everything. So I thought I'd talk to you about how to earn a dog's trust. It's a lot easier than it seems. Some breeds are more predisposed to being anxious and nervous and developing fear. Let's say you want to say hi to a nervous dog or any dog for that matter. The biggest mistake I see people make is walking right up to a dog and bending down over the dog's head to pet him. towering above them. This is very threatening for dogs. You're just trying to say hello and pet the dog, but the dog is perceiving you as a threat, invading his space, and dominating him by towering over. Add that to the fact that most people are kind of excited already when they approach a dog this way, and the dog feeds off that energy. So an insecure dog is not going to trust you when you approach this way, and will probably become more anxious and fearful. And a strong, powerful dog, well, anything could happen. He can interpret the approach as an invasion of his space, a threat, or just a nuisance, and feel the need to put you in your place. You might not notice the warning signs, and the next thing you know, he's nipping you. This is why it's so important when you meet a dog to let the dog approach you first. Make sure you tell your kids never to walk up to a strange dog, especially from behind. So what you do with a confident dog is just stand there, let him come up and sniff you. Don't try to pet him right away, though. Don't talk to him. Just let him sniff you. Give it a minute, and then pet him under his chin, not above his head. Don't tower over him. Now, if it's a shy, scared dog, kneel down with your back to the dog and just stay there. Don't talk to him. Just kneel down, hang out. After a while, he'll come up and investigate you and sniff you. You might get a chance to pet him. You might not. Either way, this is the best way to get the trust of a dog that's afraid. You know, you're not towering above him. You're down on his level. You're not invading his space. He can come up to you whenever he pleases. Try not to make any sudden movements or move abruptly. Most dogs don't like it when you move too fast. It gets them anxious. Get more at animalradio.com.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free rolled food. It's protein-packed with less risk of food sensitivity.
I'm Beth Stern on Animal Radio and Adopt From Your Local Shelter.
Live at the Red Barn Studios, you're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Let's see, we're going to line three or four, Judy.
Let's go to line four.
Line four, and we have Andrew.
Hello, how you doing?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right. I got a question for Lottie. Is his name right? Yeah, I just got this puppy. He's about 10, 12 weeks old. Is there any way I can control his yelping, his whining?
What breed?
I think he's Jack Russell and Chihuahua mix.
Mm, okay. He's screaming in the crate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, yeah, the best way for you... Go ahead.
You go ahead.
No, I'm just telling you, the best way for you to deal with this problem, to make sure he's tired before you put him in the crate. If you would exercise him physically, by maybe tossing some objects, toss one. I don't care if he brings it or not. I toss another one. I gotta keep him running back and forth without stop, at least 2-3 times per day. And after that would be maybe a little bit. How old is he?
He's about 12 weeks.
4 months. Yeah. So I would also a little bit train him by putting a leash and collar. Kind of, you know, simple things. Let's go, sit, stay, come. Whatever you do, running, walking him through the house on the leash will make him feel like he is working. You can use treats by telling him sit and stay and focusing on stay, maybe having a leash to reinforce that stay. 1 minute sit stay takes as much energy like 1 mile to run. You can also can look at the toy by name Chase, like a Chase It Pet Toys. It's called okay. Chase It Pet Toys. You can play with your dog like with a cat. It's such a great toy, and you can exercise your dog so nicely.
Okay.
And after that, you know, I would do it periodically, 2-3 times per day. From that time, he will be going to the crate and be much more compliant. However, if you still feel, you know, he is... a little bit too nosy in the crate, this is the time for correction. The easiest one to use the pet convincer device. You spray the air, he's startled, he stops. From that time, you can give him treats and say, good boy, good girl. There is another way of doing this, a little bit more sophisticated, but it also works. You use a penny can, like a soda can. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like in Michigan, in Midwest, we say it's a pop can. It must be from aluminum. And you put inside 5-6 peonies. And you close that hole. No. You don't know how I'm going to use it. I'm not going to shake. If I would be shaking that cancer, I would not never be celebrity. Mm-hmm. So you put the peonies, you close that hole. Enough to do the trick. Use the rope, piece of the clothesline or rope, to attach to this can. Put the can next to the crate. End of that rope. Put it through the metal or plastic bar of that crate, and after that, have another end in your hands, maybe 15, 20 feet away. I hope you understand what I'm talking about.
I'm listening. Go ahead.
Okay, that's okay. It's okay.
I'll follow you.
So, good for you. Okay, hope you understand my accent.
Yeah, I do. I understand you perfectly. Come on. Come on. After the can, just do that 20 feet away. Go ahead.
Love you, guy. Okay. And at any given time your dog shows some type of the noises, you can scream, you can grab the end of this rope and pull it sharply toward you. What is going to happen? The can is going to smash into the crate, which will create sound, startling sound, when the dog will really take it as, wow, I mean, I'm not supposed to act this way. Another way you can, instead of using can, you yourself can approach without raising your hand. Just smack the side of the crate as to scream, ah, and smack it. And when the dog, and the key is when the dog is not quiet, when he's quiet in the crate, always praise him. Good boy, good girl. Sometimes you pass the crate by and he's quiet, good girl, good boy. Give him some nice toys.
Okay.
So he
and that's Vlade. Vlade, I got to jump in here because, you know, I know you're all into like the negative correction here, but you know, Dr. Debbie has a little softer approach. And for me, I was going to say that I wanted to give your doggy an interactive puzzle toy. I want to give
that's
your little doggy something to do, something to play with. And there's some really great toys that have food dispensing gizmos where you just kind of put the little food in there and they play with it. They work with it and it gives them something to do. It occupies the mind while they're in the kennel. And there's a lot of different companies that make these type of things. And for me, Vlade, I'm going to disagree with you. I feel that negative correction for dogs making screaming sounds is just a losing battle because you're giving them that attention that they want and you're actually going to make it happen more likely. So for me, I would actually advise earplugs. And I actually don't, I do not provide any attention to a dog when they're screaming in the kennel. And for my own doggies included, it's a little tough love and you really just have to walk away and not give them that attention when they're behaving that way. But, you know, I know we have different approaches, Vlad.
Yes. Well, if you would like to listen to doctor's approach, you also can buy ears plug it and make pretend you cannot hear anything and just hope that's going to problem disappear, you know, on its own. And I have to tell you, that's not going to happen. The best approach is very balanced. Yes, I agree with the doctor. I would provide, I just was about to tell you, to provide some toys, to put interactive toys, you know, bully sticks, something to chew, exercise your dog prior to putting in the crate, but that's ultimately, it's not up to the dog to decide when quiet when he's not, and that reason for corrections.
Okay, I understand. Thank you very much. I appreciate everything everybody said. I really do. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call, Andrew. 1-866-405-8405 to bicker with the Dream Team right now at Animal Radio.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Here is today's top automotive news story. I'm Nick Miles. Subaru of America has released a new creative campaign to celebrate the launch of its 12th annual Subaru Share the Love event. The national advertising campaign brings to life the stories of those the automaker has impacted through the national charities, which benefits the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, Make-A-Wish, Meals on Wheels America, and the National Park Foundation. To find your new Subaru, see our reviews at ourautoexpert.com.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. For professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring veterinarian Dr. Debbie White, groomer Joey Villani, news director Lori Brooks. And now, from the Red Barn Studios, here are your hosts, Hal Abrams, and Judy Francis.
And your dream team, animal communicator Joy Turner, dog father Joey Volani, Vlade the world famous Russian dog wizard, and Dr. Debbie. And by the way, that's in no particular order. I want to make sure that I appreciate all of them. They are all much smarter than I am.
We couldn't do it without them.
No, we're just the glue here. Of course, Judy Francis screening your calls right now. You can also email us your questions if you don't want to go on air at yourvoice@animalradio.com or Facebook.com/animalradio. And Joy Behar in just a few minutes. Stacy working on news. Where is she? Well, go get her. I want her to do a tease. She left the newsroom. Didn't she know I was coming to her right now? I know that Joey is coming up in just a few minutes. He's going to tell you how to deal with cats, washing cats. Is that it?
What's smelly.
Smelly cats. Smelly cats. That's all in the way. And
now I gotta say, I helped my mother bathe her cat when I was visiting.
Uh-oh.
And when I wasn't around and she did this on her own, she's like, oh my God, you made it look so easy. It was, yeah. So when you say washing a cat, I think a lot of people go, yeah, right.
Yeah. Stacy's back in the studio now. Stacy, what are you working on?
A Missouri woman's facing criminal charges because her chihuahuas gave her neighbor's chicken a heart attack.
Huh.
Yep, they barked, boom, chicken dead. Neighbors P.O.'d. Not happy. It's not funny. I'll tell you about it coming up on Animal Radio.
It is funny. It is funny. You know, if I were to tell that story in Russia, they would be think that's kind of from the, you know, century 25 or something. They would not even understand what I'm talking about.
Let's go ahead and hit the phone. 1-866-405-8405. And this healthy serving of Animal Radio is brought to you by the grain-free Red Barn Naturals canned food for dogs and cats. It's always made in the USA with natural, functional ingredients to support your pet's optimal health. You could learn more at redbarninc.com. And thank you, Red Barn, for underwriting Animal Radio. And Tina is on the phone for Dr. Debbie. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
How are you doing? Where are you calling from?
Laguna Beach.
Oh, beautiful LA. Okay. Dr. Debbie's right here. What can we do for you?
Well, my question is, I have a 16-year-old Cocker Spaniel, and I've had him since he was a puppy, so I know his moods, his behaviors, and recently he started panting a lot, and I mean just like breathing really heavy fast, and he also is, he follows my husband and I around from every room to room.
Okay, and when he's, is this a breathing pattern that's going on all the time, or is it just at certain times of the day?
It seems like I notice it more in the evening.
And does he ever cough or have any other type of symptoms?
No coughing.
Okay.
I did have him check out with the vet, and they did discover that he has a low thyroid, so he is on medication twice a day.
Okay. And has he been reevaluated since he's been started on that?
He was. He had his blood redrawn off 2 weeks ago.
Because that's an important thing. For pets that are on thyroid supplement, we want to make sure that level is in the right zone. If it's too high, we can actually see some anxiety behaviors, panting, drinking a lot. So that's just where I want to make sure that that is a nice, healthy zone. And it's not, if it's even at the higher end of normal and you're seeing these behaviors, then I think that might even warrant adjusting that dosage. But, you know, there's a lot of things in an older pet that will cause panting. And if it's timed at nighttime, sometimes there's some behavioral things that we can look at, and dogs can have types of senility problems, what we call cognitive dysfunction. And
right.
that may be something as simple as, you know, kind of being in a confused state, having behavioral changes, panting excessively. Some dogs get up in the middle of the night and kind of wander.
That's what he's doing. And I even noticed that he walked right to the living room wall, and he stood there, and he was looking at the wall. And I had to go over to him and move him away and kind of pat him, because he can't hear anymore either. But he's not in any pain, but I'm just wondering if that's something like the breathing, if I should be concerned about that.
Well, the breathing itself, you know, I would want to accompany this with a good physical. So I'd listen to his heart, lungs, make sure everything there is good. If we're not picking up anything physical that we'd relate to the heart or the lungs, then I might really be looking at cognitive dysfunction or this doggy senility. Because we do see a lot of what you're seeing. Dogs will be kind of pacing. They tend to get their sleep and wake cycle screwed up. So So they may be up in the middle of the night like, hey, man, I'm going to party. Yeah. And during the day, they'll sleep like, you know, a log. So yeah. If you're having a couple of these type of symptoms, I would speak to your veterinarian because there is medication we can use to help this. And it basically helps to increase the dopamine levels in the brain. That is something that is, it takes a month or two to see some improvement with a pet that's on it. But I wouldn't hesitate if they feel that everything else is good, you know, to look into some medication. Now, also, there even are some diets that have some enhanced antioxidants, enhanced with fatty acids, and they actually have been shown to help with brain function in pets that have cognitive dysfunction like this. And Hills has a diet for that. That may be even something else that you can add in. And that food is called BD, or brain diet. Might be some solutions for you if it does seem that, you know, we have this cognitive dysfunction.
Also,
I will definitely look into speaking to his vet again about the dopamine.
Mm-hmm. And the medication actually is called selegiline. It's a horrible word to say, selegiline. But if you say cognitive dysfunction or you say CDS, your veterinarian will know what kind of concerns you have.
Thank you for your call. 1-866-405-8405 to connect with our dream team. Animal communicator Joy Turner, dog father Joey Volani, Vladi the world famous Russian dog wizard, and the very illustrious Dr. Debbie. Looking good today.
Thank you. What a wonderful way to welcome the day.
Coming up in just a few minutes, Joy Behar from The View. She's still on The View?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's make sure.
I love her.
She's, she says what's on her mind. That's for sure.
Yeah, that sounds
just like you. You two would be a good. Oh, that could only mean one thing. If you're new to Animal Radio, and that's possible, where have you been? This theme means we all bow for the dog father, Joey Volani, brought to you by Protect Your Bubble. And Joey Volani looking nothing like a bubble.
Huh? I debubbled.
You debubbled.
I debubbled. Yeah, I'm 242 from 315.
Whoa.
So we're doing okay.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
We're doing
congratulations.
Okay. So, listen, I got a question from a Tori Smith here about her cat. And she says that every remedy that I've spoken about on Animal Radio hasn't worked for her because it has to do with sprays. And her cat is completely afraid of water, like most cats. And it, in sprays, it, you know, the spray just startles the cat. So her kitty stinks. And listen, I said that. And all you guys.
Nothing like
you
a know, stinky kitty.
This is a family show here, okay. People, okay?
Smelly cat, smelly cat.
Well, her kitty stinks. So this is what she's going to do. The bottom line is most with cats, they for the most part do keep themselves clean. The problem is sometimes the litter box is what makes them smell a little bit. And even if you change the litter a lot, you know what? They go in, they stand, and they're stepping in. And depending on how strong the urine is really what's going to make the difference. I know some cats that even roll around in their litter box, so that you know it doesn't help things. So if you're having a problem with your cat, and this is actually a really easy fix because your cat's afraid of sprays, is afraid of waters. Well, what we're going to use is we're going to use something, and this is an old Italian thing. See, the old Italians used to, when they used to get indigestion, they used to have a quarter glass of water with a half a teaspoon of baking soda and mix it up and drink it, and it was an antacid. Well, that's what baking soda is going to do for your cat, and it's also really, really good because it's non-toxic completely. A lot of things that you put on your cats, even stuff that is made for them, sometimes will get your cat sick, okay, because they are a little bit more delicate than dogs, and you know what, their body sometimes can't adjust to certain chemicals. So baking soda is perfect. You're going to sprinkle it on, you're going to brush it through, you're going to wipe it on their feet, you're going to brush it off, and you know what, you're going to let your cat go about it. Now what's going to happen is because urine has a lot of acid in it, this is going to break down the acids. That's why it's a great antacid. It's going to break it down, and it's going to take the smell with it. It's going to absorb the odor and it's going to get rid of it. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have a clean smelling kitty again. Mm. And everyone's going to be happy.
Smelly cat, smelly cat, born to make sweet like that. I saw you in a shopping mall.
There you go. Joey Volani's tip. Using baking soda, which of course is really a cure-all.
Smelly cat, smelly cat. It's not your fault. You know what was in your food. Let's say it might affect your mood.
Yeah, that's not the song.
And I want.
Hey, welcome back to another edition of The Party Animal on Animal Radio. I'm your host, Vinny Penn. I got three words for you. Three words I don't want to say, but it's something I don't dig. Peeing on snowman. Now, you got to let your dog out. We got all sorts of things have changed so much. You got to follow the dog around with the pooper, scooper, and whatnot. And of course, a dog aims right for the fire hydrant. We all know that. But if I see one more lightning yellow streak across a snowman that some adorable little children put together with their own tiny little hands, is it beyond you, dog owner, to shout at Thor or Monarch or Lucky or Rover, for God's sake, to say, oh, go, scoot, away from the snowman. Don't let your dog pee on the snowman. Children made it. Some of the pee inevitably gets on that scarf. That scarf doesn't get washed. Next thing you know, in February, daddy's wearing that scarf to work, and it's got dog urine all over it, quite frankly. You see the dog heading for the snowman, teach the dog. Paw, roll over, respect Frosty. Vinny Penn, Party Animal, Animal Radio.
Hello, this is Jane Goodall on Animal Radio, and I'd just like everybody to realize that each day you live, you make some difference on the planet, and you can choose what kind of difference you're going to make. And hopefully every day you'll try to make the world a little bit better for people, for animals, and for the environment.
Okay, yeah, so puppy pads are convenient, but sometimes they're really gross. That's why Ladybug, the Animal Radio Studio stunt dog, uses the Brilliant Pad self-cleaning puppy pad. It seals away the waste and replaces the dirty pad for us. Brilliant Pad keeps the Animal Radio Studios smelling fresh. In fact, all we have to do is replace the roll once every few weeks. And let me tell you, that's pretty fast and easy to do. I love it, and Ladybug gives it five paws up. You can learn more about this amazing machine over at brilliantpad.com.
Live at the Red Barn Studios, you're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Yeah, do you know what I'm eating right now? Look.
Coconut. You're eating a coconut. He's holding a coconut with vodka in it, I'm sure.
First of all, it's a green tea.
Okay.
Don't really put the negative light on me. Okay. Second of all, it's a coconut stuffing. It's really good, guys, you know. It gives me energy. You want to try one?
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah, I do.
Can I get my own spoon, though? I don't want to use your spoon, if it's okay.
I'll use your spoon.
And hold on. Gosh. I'm going to green tea. Look, guys, we always give it tips, and some of them related or not related to the pets, but a lot of them to some degree do. And coconut oil is one of the best remedies which we used in Europe for improving skin for our coats for our dogs, allergy remedy. And recently, Judy, you have to help me on that. What is the very terrible human disease? It is like starting from the letter A. It's not Parkinson. It's asthma. When people losing the memory.
Asthma.
Tell me,
asthma.
Oh. No.
Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unbelievable. I've seen that research and report recently on internet. One lady, she was a pediatrician. Of course, she was using drugs and all the things. But when her husband got sick with this disease, she did intensive research. And guess what? She discovered the cure in coconut oil. What's happening with this terrible disease, the brain cells, it's almost like diabetes. They cannot get glucose into the cells in the brain, and the cells die. So the coconut opening that pathway for the cells to get in, and the person almost recovered totally. So now I always eating coconut oil every time. And you know what? I feel better, and I have a better memory.
You know what? You look better. Your coat looks better too.
But yes, just, you know. Well, you know what's funny about that? When I was doing Pet Fashion Week in Manhattan a year ago, there was a stand, and that was their whole thing. Is they were actually selling, and they were giving out samples of coconut oil that you put in your dog's food because it creates a better coat, and it's actually something that I've used, the unrefined coconut oil for your dog. And what we do is after your dog has been bathed, you take a little bit, you rub it in your hands, you rub it in the coat, and you dry your dog, and it makes the coat pretty unbelievable feeling on any dog. It doesn't matter. It absorbs in really good, and it works really good when you brush that in. It also leaves a nice scent.
I believe it. I believe it. Back in Soviet Union, when we had nothing on the shelves, we used coconut oil like a conditioner for the hair and for skin cream. You know, it's amazing what you can do when you don't have anything in on your shelves. You got to be very creative. Like we always say, Russian wife can make soup from three ingredients, potato, water, and pot.
And that's not marijuana pot. That's just that's what you boil it.
That's my California accent, I guess.
For some reason, I'd rather go with the Progresso, I think. But, I'll try.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. But spoils of the life in America haven't spoiled my wife yet. She still get up first in the morning, cooking for my family, for me, servicing food. And I love her for that. And she's a hard worker. She is a top-notch, top girl.
I'll send my wife over for a couple of days. We'll see what happens.
Oh, no. A little wife swapping.
Oh, my gosh. So that's what some of my clients want to send their wives to me with their dogs for the boot camp.
Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. I understand you want to talk to Vlade, and he's right here drinking his coconut oil.
I'm drinking the tea.
I think I'm going to take you up on that coconut oil suggestion. I have a 10-year-old Brussels Griffon. And if you know the breed, you know that they're pretty quirky. And he, for the most part, is amazing. And I have very few complaints, but he's extremely anxious in the car. And it makes it really difficult because I like to take him a lot of places. I mean, he's, you know, so excitable and he's, you know, jumping all over everyone and barking, you know, obviously when we get close to the beach or anywhere where he thinks he's going, he goes nuts. I don't know if there's an easy solution. I mean, he's 10, you know, can you teach him new tricks?
Okay, and again, you can call to any radio stations, and all those people would like to be so politically correct and will convince you that you need to have a PhD in order to teach your dog to behave properly in your car. We're not talking about, I guess, motion sickness. We're talking about doggy ADD and basically learning disabilities or learning disorder. We are so good about inventing diseases in this country. I'm just trying to, you know, explain the listeners in politically correct way what you are dealing with. Basically, people, she driving somewhere and that dog in her back seat running back and forth, barking nonstop like a Russian AK-47 downtown Beirut, especially when he's approaching, they are approaching to some area of interest for the dog. We always need to first think what the behavior is acceptable. What behavior you want him to do. And I will tell you, Amy, what behavior you want him to do. I want your dog to be a nice, polite, canine child sitting in the back seat, not in the front seat. Okay? If you allow your dog to be a driver, he will be drive all your life. I want your dog sitting in the back seat in the nice dog bed. So that's what I'm mental picture. I am picturized. I want him to be. How to get it? In two steps. Step number one, make him be tired. Before driving, I will put some obedience training. I will put the collar and leash and make him walk properly. Not when you walk your, not when he walks you, when you walk your dog. Walking properly, he wants to go ahead of you. Turn around and snap the leash like shown in a video, which you can see from YouTube if you Google Animal Radio of Vlade. Once you start to teach him to do certain things, focusing on control exercise like sit, stay, down, stay, things like that, which is to you, it's unrelated to your problem, but this will have a direct effect to your dog's behavior because he's going to be very tired, number one. Number two, you will be in the authoritative position. So when you say something to your dog in the car, your words will have more meaning. Right now, you're probably just equals. You're just living together. You're just roommates. So he's not going to listen to you back there. And you're going to give him job to do. He's going to get very tired. Tired dog is the good dog, as we all know.
Check out Animal Radio Highlights. All the good stuff without the blah, blah, blah. Browse on over to animalradio.pet.
Everyone's favorite matchmaking klepto kitty MacGyver is back in Mac on a Hot Tin Roof. And this time, he's thieving his way through the greatest adventure of all, parenting. When Mac finds a litter of orphan kittens, the mischievous Tabby has no choice but to put his life of crime on pause. Because the tables have turned, and now Mac is the one to have something stolen. His heart. Mac on a Hot Tin Roof by Melinda Metz is available everywhere books are sold. For more info, visit KensingtonBooks.com.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. Well, there's nothing like feuding with your neighbors.
Trust me, I know about that. A Missouri woman's pet chihuahuas are accused of literally scaring her neighbor's pet chicken to death, and she's facing some criminal charges as a result of it. According to the Kansas City Star, Joy McDonald has been slapped with a misdemeanor charge of failing to control her pets, Peaches and Domino, after the dogs got loose and into her neighbor's yard. McDonald tells the paper that she had to restrain her laughter when she first received a phone call from her screaming and cursing neighbor, who told her his chicken was dead because Peaches and Domino barked at it. Well, McDonald believes the bird may have suffered a heart attack, but there's no official cause of death. Her laughter quickly died down, though, when the neighbors sent over the police to her house. The Missouri woman says she tried to offer $30 as compensation for the loss, but the neighbor turned it down. Well, $30. How do we know that chicken's worth $30? I mean, it'd be like telling them that her chihuahua's worth $30. Me, personally, chihuahua's $5 a piece. They're little yappy dogs. I know you got a chihuahua and you defend it to its death, but I'm a big dog person, although I do have a Jack Russell. Anyway, they think they're big. McDonald is due back in court this month to defend herself. She denies that her dogs are killers, but has since built an outside pen to keep them from getting loose. While no longer a threat to residents in the southern Philippines, a giant crocodile is taking another title of notoriety. A rep for Guinness World Records says the saltwater croc dubbed Lolong is officially the largest crocodile in captivity. It is more than 20 feet long, weighs more than a ton. Lolong takes the title from an Australian crocodile that measured more than 17 feet and weighed almost a ton. According to Sky News, the croc is now housed at an ecotourism park and research center near the town of Bunawan, where it's become the main attraction for tourists in the area. I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
Live at the Red Barn Studios, you're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Right now we have The View's Joy Behar on. Hi, Joy, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you, Al?
Very good, very good.
Okay, and Judy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi.
We were trying to figure out here while we were waiting for the call. Are you one of the original hosts on The View?
Yes, I was there from the beginning. And the original, I was on 3 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And Barbara would come on 2 days, so I would sit in when she was not there. But then the audience liked me, and they put me on 5 days a week, so that's what happened.
Good move.
Wow.
Good move for them.
Yeah, you know, my philosophy is just show up.
You know what? That's really pretty much 99% of it.
That's exactly right.
Do you have pets at home? I forget.
I have. My daughter and her husband live in my building.
Uh-huh.
We're all in one big building because I grew up like that, like in a tenement in Brooklyn, and the whole family was in the building.
That works out for you.
So I just try to recreate those early years.
Uh-huh.
And so we have, between us, three animals, and we sort of have, co-dependencies on them, or whatever you want to call it.
Visitation, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you call that? Co-visited. What do you call that when people have the
custody.
Children?
Custody.
Custody.
Yeah,
that's so. It. We have co-custody. And I have, both of us, we share two dogs, two mutts,
uh-huh.
Gracie and Tallulah.
Oh, I love it.
They're very divine little doggies. They come from the same litter. And they're combinations of, what's that dog that has the adorable little face? People say that they're shih tzus.
Shih tzus.
But they're not shih tzus. That's what the person we got them from said, they were part shih tzu. There's nothing shih tzu about these dogs. They're more like papillons.
Wow.
And then we have a cat who weighs as much as this dog that just won the contest, Benito Pussolini.
Mm. What do you do to spoil them? Do you spoil the cat more?
The cat, you know, there was a cartoon in the New Yorker this week where a cat says, look, I will work for food, it said, and I'll just take two bites and then I'll walk away. And that's my cat, Benito. He hocks you in the morning, he jumps on you, he purrs on your face, and then he eats two bites and then leaves.
Wakes you up first.
Yes, he has to wake us right out of a dead sleep at about 5 in the morning.
Do you allow your pets in bed with you? Do you allow them to sleep?
Of course.
Yes.
Do I allow? Of course they sleep in bed with me. I don't allow it. They just do.
Okay.
I also have a cat that sleeps in bed. I mean, it's a very crowded bed.
Yes. If they're in a certain place, do you sleep around them?
You have. They sort of sleep...
They sort of sleep between your legs.
Uh-huh.
You know? And then if you turn over, you know, you hit the one animal on the head and they move over.
Okay. Sounds like our place.
Yeah. And who wouldn't allow their pets in their beds? Everybody does that.
Well, you should hear our dog trainer here. What in the
I know. Yeah. I know. They don't like that.
I think if people say they don't, they're lying. They just don't want to admit it.
They're hidden.
Listen, yes. You could find somebody. You could find a marriage counselor that tells you don't let your husband in the bed. There's always an expert who will give you advice.
Yes.
Now, I've been told we don't have a lot of time with you, but I gotta ask you. This book, I guess it's been out for several years. Shih Tzu Kaka Poo Poo.
It's out about, I think it's about a year and a half. It's a very cute little book about my dog, Max, who was a mixed breed. And the book is about, you know, being snubbed by the purebreds and how he charms them into liking him, and then they all play together. It's kind of a nice little metaphor for life, really.
Oh, how beautiful. On that note, Joy, thanks so much for joining us.
Take care of your puppies out there.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is underwritten by Kensington Books, inspired by true stories of klepto kitties caught stealing from humans. Mac, the mischievous tabby, is back, and Mac on a hot tin roof. But this time, there's little time for his usual shenanigans when Mac becomes the foster parent to an orphaned litter of adorable kittens. Filled with lots of catitude and love, Mac on a Hot Tin Roof by Melinda Metz is available everywhere books are sold. Visit KensingtonBooks.com for more information. And thanks, Kensington, for underwriting Animal Radio. One 866 405 8405. It is Animal Radio, celebrating our connections with our pets. Toll free, Dr. Debbie at 1-866-405-8405. Vlade, the world famous Russian dog wizard, dog father Joey Volani, or animal communicator Joey Turner. During the top of the hour break, Vlade and Joey were arguing about what dog makes the best dog. I know, Vlade, that you've been jumping up and down like an impatient kid in the class that wants to go to the bathroom. What is the dog that you would pick?
And the only way I jumped back and forth because I was very, very surprised. You know, Joe, if you would be a woman, I would marry you. You know that. I told you many times because I love you. And I could not believe that the celebrity groomer, without any saying anything, you have your own show on Animal Planet, and you've done so much appearances, and you're dealing with those dogs and grooming all the time. I could not believe my ears that your choice of the best little dogs for the general public were the one troublemaker after another. Let me tell you, you're dealing with them all the time, and you know better probably than even me that the best little dogs would be Maltese and Havanese. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Well, I was going to say Maltese. I was almost going to say King Charles Cavalier.
Yeah, I agree. Now we talk money. That's now we talk about the thing.
But hold on. But that wasn't the question. The question was, you know, the best little dogs to pick up women. And I don't know if Maltese is a very, very feminine dog for a guy to be walking. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think no matter how manly you are, a guy walking a Maltese, I don't think it's a good attraction to women. Now,
what
I think
Pog?
Jack Russell is, because the Jack Russell has that personality. You know, he's like, look at me. He wants the attention. Yeah. He brings them over to you. And then it's up to you to go there and rap, you know, hey, how you doing, babe? And there you go.
He has a too much personality, I would say. What about Pog?
Absolutely, just because the face alone, you know, Pug, Boston Terrier.
I mean, that mug alone is
going to. But I mean, as far as good dogs, yeah, I mean, you can't get a sweeter dog than a King Charles.
I agree with you.
Really, it's a sweet dog.
And they're very expensive. And I know why you bring them this subject, because I guess they're charging much more who comes with you with Kings, with that breed. Because having that breed, it means having Mercedes. It's a really mark. It's like Portuguese water dog. It's another Mercedes. It takes a lot of money to groom, to take care of.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. So, yeah, you could bring all your Portuguese water dogs and King Charles Cavaliers to me. I'd love to charge you.
I know we started from one thing and after we jumped to another hill. And I know you guys always bring, and that's humorous way, who we're going to pick and choose and things like this. But I'm paranoid. when it comes to the personality, because I guys passing those step doors of the people for 30 years in French
country. You say that every week. You keep passing those doors. Why do you pass the doors? These people need help. You need to stop at those doorsteps.
I first pass in order to stop and help. But the point is, I come and I see, and I see disasters, and I know how the people got into this disaster, and I see some similarities. Search and breeds shows this unwanted behavior more than others. So that's what my point is, and that's what my pain is, and that's what my pet peeves is.
That'll be a good show. Hal, you need to do this. You need to get Vladi on television. What we're going to do is we're just going to go to people's houses and ring their bell. And we'll
then just run. Just run.
Yes.
Ring and run. We'll,
ring and you know, that would be a good show, too, actually.
No, you got to put the poop on the porch and light it on
dog
fire.
Dog poop, yes.
Yeah.
You know, in America, if you knock or push the doorbell in any neighbor, you know, in any dog, I mean, in any household, whole neighborhood dogs are barking. It's just hilarious to watch it.
Here is today's top automotive news story. I'm Nick Miles. Acura debuted a handcrafted Acura MDX PMC edition at Automobility LA last week. The MDX PMC edition will launch in early 2020 with 300 vehicles built for the US market. The MDX PMC edition is powered by Acura's 3.5-liter direct-injected V6 engine with 290 peak horsepower mated to a 9-speed transmission and torque vectoring all-wheel drive. To find your new Acura, check the reviews at ourautoexpert.com.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. We're close, convenient, and known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. For professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers.
And Cynthia Rogers.
On Animal Radio.
Just know that it's going to be all right, meow.
Live at the Red Barn Studios, you're listening to Animal Radio. Here's Hal and Judy.
Welcome to the show, John.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. I have Dr. Debbie right here. What's going on with your animal?
Oh, I have a female border collie, and I also have one of her sons, because they're cow dogs, and we work cows with them. Anyway, we were gone for a few days and didn't realize that she had come in heat, and sure enough, the day we got home, we noticed that her son had bred her that day.
Oh, okay.
So we're wondering what we could do about that, if there's a morning after pill or something for a dog or...
Yeah, well, you know, the best thing that I could suggest is to have this baby spayed.
Okay.
That's the honest truth here. You know, she's at an age already at six where, you know, if she's not spayed, we do have to be watchful for some other health problems that are coming on. Pyometra, which is a uterine infection, plus all the different cancers in the reproductive tract. So I don't see a reason that I would endorse allowing a pregnancy to go forward at this point. But in response to your question, is there a mismating pill you can give? There's really not a pill that we give to dogs to terminate pregnancy. It's kind of, for me, I have to say, it's something I don't do a lot of reproductive work because I don't particularly enjoy it. I think we have enough doggies on this earth that we don't need to really be reproducing them for them. But there are some different mismating techniques that can be done. Generally, in the U.S., they're limited to treatment 30 days after they've already become pregnant. So you've already got a pretty almost full-term pregnancy there. So for me, I find that a little distasteful to have to terminate pregnancies at that point.
Right.
So those are different types of injection techniques that are done. In other countries, they do have some injections that can be done early into the pregnancy, just, you know, almost immediately after breeding. But it's really not very widespread in the U.S. You could always check around and see if your area, if you have any kind of reproductive specialists that have this available.
But it's really not
advised, I'd say, to, you know, to let this baby go forward. Now, what would the puppies be like? And, you know, what kind of concerns do you have? When we breed two closely related dogs, whether they're brother and sister, father and daughter, you run the risk of concentrating genes. So normally this is done with any breeding operation. They'll take a good dog and a good dog, and they hope to have more good genes. So if we've got any kind of recessive genes, any bad genes in there, you're going to have a more likely expression of those genes. And in collies, there's certainly, every breed's got them, but there's certainly some that we'd be worried about that could concentrate. Collie eye anomaly is one of them. There's a neutrophil problem. There's some neurologic problems, some recessive type diseases that can occur. So there is some potential, but I say in the vast number of closely related dogs that breed, we don't always see a bunch of abnormal puppies. Mm-hmm. But you do definitely run that risk of having some of those certain diseases expressed more likely. So right. I don't know if the parents have any kind of health problems or anything that in any related...
No, there's no health problems. And, we use this dog. She's out of a national champion stock dog, and we usually breed her to, along those bloodlines. Not the same bloodlines, but to champion stock dogs, and then we train the pups and sell them to ranchers. So it's not like just a normal dog,
Okay, all right.
That's the reason why I don't want to spay her, because we sell the puppies for a lot of money.
Oh gosh, you're breaking my heart here, man. Oh, it's 6 years. Has she put her years in? Is her uterus done? This is my opinion here, and I'd have to say that, it's just maybe a time you need to really consider, has she done her service for you, both on the ranch and in the reproduction category here? And, I am definitely, I'm sympathetic with what kind of, life she lives and what she's doing. But gosh, I just got to say, I'd either let this litter have its way, and then maybe they just become pet quality pets. Like I said, if you're really looking to terminate pregnancy, you're looking at doing that maybe about a month down the road.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I hope that's not the case. She's too valuable to me to risk anything happen to her. Now, last batch she had a C-section. Is that advised to do that again, or...
Yeah, there's some controversy whether or not if a pet has a C-section that they're going to always need a C-section. And I don't see that that's always the case. There are some breeds, usually the bulldogs, the big-headed breeds, where I'd say that tends to be a little bit more the case. But it doesn't mean she's absolutely going to require that. So,
okay.
So hopefully that won't be the case, and things will go along naturally. And, just be real vigilant and watchful with her. And who knows? Maybe it doesn't take. maybe you won't have that pregnancy.
That would be great. Last time I bred her to a son of a 10-time world champion stock dog, and she didn't settle to that one. So that was kind of a bummer. We were looking forward to that one, but oh well.
You never know. Yeah, well, give your little girl a scratch on her head for me. She's a hard-working dog, and I wish her the best.
Okay,
thank you so much for your call there, John.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for Animal Radio. Remember, you can visit us at the website at animalradio.com. Lots of great stuff over there. Let's see. Oh, I want to thank Joy Behar for the Season of Stars. Do we know who's on next week? We don't know who's on next week. Okay,
it's a secret.
Super secret surprise. Plus, we'll have another. Have yourself a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.